good morning. I'm Muriel Bowser. I represent the District of Columbia on the Board of Directors for Metro. It is 10:05, and I'm calling to order this regular meeting of the Planning Program Development and Real Estate Committee. I would like to recognize a quorum present in the committee with Mr. Mort Downey representing the federal government, Mr. Alvin Nichols representing the state of Maryland, Ms. Mary Hines from the Commonwealth of Virginia, and myself representing the District of Columbia. Before we move to today's agenda items, I'd like to recognize Mr. Doherty for a safety check.
Thank you, Chair Bowser, and good morning, members of the board. As we usually do, I want to remind you, in the event the building alarm goes off due to a fire or any other reason, that we would exit this room via one of the exit doors to my right or left, across the street in the crosswalk, preferably, and meet in front of the building museum so that we can account for certainly everyone over there in that assembly. Our safety contact for this month is, addresses vision, since most of us, I believe, work with computers, and wanted to just remind you that people who sit in front of a computer for long periods of time often encounter a variety of uncomfortable symptoms. Headaches, neck strain, backaches, and wrist pain are common, but sadly, the most prevalent symptoms of prolonged computer use, eye strain, blurred vision, and dry eye are often overlooked. In fact, eye and vision problems are most frequently reported healthcare problems among computer users. These symptoms, labeled as computer vision syndrome, can lead to permanent vision problems. While decreasing time spent at a computer may not be an option, there are always ways to maximize healthy vision for a comfortable use of a computer. Have a regular comprehensive eye exam to ensure your eyes are healthy and that you have the correct eyeglass or contact lens prescription if necessary. Be certain to tell your optometrist about the computer work that you do. Wear glasses that are specifically designed to function comfortably at the computer. The lenses you wear for day-to-day activities may not be the best for working at the computer. As a reminder, rest your eyes, blink forcefully, use a humidifier, and instill artificial tears, if at all possible. Although our vision system faces considerable challenges when using a computer, most issues can be solved. Remember that problems with the use of a computer cause needless discomfort and may rob productivity. Heeding the suggestions made here, along with proper workstation or desktop setup, and those made by your eye doctor, will enable you to use your computer comfortably and productively. Thank you. That concludes our safety contact for this morning, Chairman Bowser.
Any discussion? Discussion, discussion. All those in favor say aye. Aye. The ayes have it, and the motion carries. I'd like to turn to today's agenda, where there is one action item, and a significant one that I know it's taken quite a lot of effort to put before us. The planning and program development staff, the real estate staff, I should say, have spent some time evaluating the stations around the region, and have evaluated also what's going on outside of the Metro property to put together a list of stations that they think can be developed at all or further developed. So that's a very good thing, not only for Metro but for the surrounding areas. So let me turn now to the staff to describe what's before us. Mr. Searles, how are you going to, Mr. Okay, thank you, Mr. Wall.
Good morning, Chairman Bowser and members of the committee. Thank you for inviting us here to present to you our proposed joint development solicitations. As required by Metro's Board of Directors and Joint Development Policies and Guidelines, staff must seek board approval for the proposed joint development solicitations. I'm here this morning to present our proposed 11 solicitations for board approval. As background, our site selection considerations fall into four major categories: market strength, developer offers, interests, or inquiries, adjacent land uses and projects, and finally, and most importantly, consultation with local planning and economic development officials. These sites were selected based on their ability to kind of meet all four of these criteria. In terms of the form of the solicitation, all of the sites will be requests for proposals, with the exception of our Anacostia station. That site, we're planning a request for qualifications due to the significant amount of transit infrastructure and coordination with other stakeholders, including National Park Service, DC Housing Authority, the DC Deputy Mayor's Office, that need to take place to make that site happen. In looking at the 11 proposed sites, they span our entire region, Maryland, DC, and Virginia. Metro has experienced some of its greatest success in advancing transit-oriented development projects around our stations in Virginia. From one of our earliest joint development projects, the Office Hotel and Condominiums in Boston, to some of our newer projects, such as the mixed-use development at Dunn-Loring, we've been a key part of transforming communities throughout Northern Virginia. As a result of this success, we only really have three stations that are available for development in Virginia. We're planning to offer solicitations for all three of those sites: Huntington, East Falls Church, and West Falls Church. In the District of Columbia, we've also achieved similar success. Some of our oldest projects include 1101 Connecticut Avenue, directly above our Farragut North Station. Some of our more recent projects include U Street, Petworth, and Minnesota Avenue, of other places where we're transforming communities. The four sites in the district will build upon this track record of success. With a focus on creating a catalyst for economic development outside of the core area, looking at wards 5, 6, and 8 in the district, to include Fort Totten, Brooklyn, Navy Yard, and Anacostia. Similar to the other two jurisdictions, our joint development efforts in Maryland have also been met with great success. One of our earliest projects was the Bethesda Metro Center project that includes a hotel, office building, and pedestrian plaza. Some of our new projects have been working on the Rockville Pike corridor, and transforming that corridor into a walkable urban place for our commuters, residents, and offices. Some of our major projects there include our White Flint and Twin Brook stations that are ongoing today. Going forward, we're focusing on, again, continuing that momentum in Montgomery County, looking at Grosvenor as one of our stations there that builds on some of the residential momentum in that area, and focusing also on Prince George's County and trying to catalyze some of our underutilized stations in that area, including Branch Avenue, Morgan Boulevard, and Capitol Heights. I'm going to walk you through three examples, one in each jurisdiction of our stations. The full list of all the projects are in the end of your presentation, but in the interest of time, I'll kind of defer to that in terms, unless you want to speak to one particular site. As an example, in Virginia, we're looking at our Huntington station. This includes one remaining small property on the south side of our station, adjacent to one of our previous joint development projects. It's an office parcel. And on the north end of the station, we have a land along Huntington Avenue that we're envisioning for either retail or mixed use at that station. And again, being a victim of our success, this is all that we have remaining at the Huntington station. The next example is a small site in southeast DC. It's a Navy Yard chiller plant. This is about a half-acre site that is the home of one of our chiller plants that supports our Navy Yard station. We've received no fewer than four inquiries from developers wanting to acquire the site from us. We will sell it as an excess property, but the developer will be required to accommodate our existing chiller plant in any redevelopment scenario that happens on that property. The third example of one of our proposed sites is Morgan Boulevard. And once again, last fall, we received an unsolicited offer from a developer who has adjacent site control seeking to acquire an entire 36-acre property to build a mixed-use development comprised of retail, residential, and office uses. That developer did not have enough site control for us to do a sole source negotiation, so per our policies, we're offering up this site for competitive bid to the development community. So those just show three examples across the region in terms of types of projects we're pursuing. Across the board, we feel there'll be strong interest in all 11 of these stations, and there's a very strong connection to what's happening around the community. In terms of benefits, these projects will support two of Metro's strategic goals as outlined in our Momentum Strategic Plan. Toward improving regional mobility, staff focused on ensuring that the projects span the entire metropolitan area, identifying stations across all three jurisdictions that might support development. We also seek to facilitate employment centers at our terminal stations to create reverse commutes and better utilize underutilized capacity on our Metro Rail system. To connect communities, we try to identify those projects where we can build upon surrounding development activity and further catalyze and connect those communities to our stations. Toward financial stability and investing in our assets, it is our goal to drive increased ridership resulting from the development activity, to replace our existing transit facilities that are impacted by development, and to generate ongoing revenue from these projects. With that, it is staff recommendation that the board approve the potential new development solicitations, and I will entertain any questions from the board committee.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. It's been moved by Mr. Acosta. And let the record show that Mr. Acosta has been here for the entirety of the meeting, and he's the federal representative on this committee. Is there a second? It's been seconded by Ms. Hines, and I'll open the floor for discussion.
Yeah, I had a couple questions. First of all, these are 11 out of how many? What was the total number of pool? What was the pool of sites that you looked at in terms of numbers?
Probably about 20 sites. So essentially, we're pursuing all of the sites that are available in Virginia. In D.C., we have probably a couple additional sites that are fairly small in nature. And in Maryland, we actually focus on prioritizing our sites in Prince George's County to generate kind of a concentrated effort around those sites that have the most demand. But probably about 20 sites in total beyond these, or 20 sites in total that were narrowed down to about 11 sites for this decision.
And I noted that you used the term consulted with jurisdictions. Were there any disagreements or just for our information in terms of the sites that we chose versus ones that they might have put on the table?
No, our consultation primarily consisted of one, introducing these opportunities, collecting feedback from planning officials, economic development officials, to better understand what their priorities might be with regard to the ultimate development that we seek to propose. But there wasn't any pushback in terms of removing any of these potential sites from consideration.
Mr. Nichols.
Thank you for the presentation. I appreciate it, and it's good to see these activities moving forward. I have two questions. One is, I'll ask them both at the same time. One is if you could just discuss what happens from here in terms of what is the cycle of a solicitation. What does that mean? We're going to put these out. What would we expect to happen individually with each stations in terms of the steps that you will go through, and as it gets to a conclusion? That would be one. The second question is it's a lot of real estate to put out, and I'm glad we're doing that. If you could talk a little bit about our infrastructure, about our capacity to manage those solicitations and in a time frame that gets us through the process. I don't really know what our internal capacity is. Is it all internal in terms of those executions? Do we rely on consulting resources to assist us in the analysis? Talk about what our own capacity is and how we manage that process.
On the first step, following board approval, we'll continue to review each of these stations. Some of the stations, as I mentioned, will require a little bit more planning and coordination activities in terms of determining exactly what the development footprint is and assessing exactly what the nature or impact of facilities and what our transit needs are at some of these stations. So those steps will take place over the next 2 to 3 months to kind of define exactly what the opportunity is at each of these stations. We will draft a solicitation outlining kind of those requirements as it relates to our transit facilities, and also we'll kind of return to our jurisdictional partners to talk about their particular requirements in terms of desired uses or undesired uses at any of the particular stations. And all of that will be captured within the solicitation document that's issued to developers. That document will be issued. We'll allow probably 2 to 3 months for the developer to respond to the solicitation. We will evaluate and select developers and negotiate a term sheet, and then come back to the board for approval of that developer and term sheet that kind of starts the next steps in the process.
So over a period of the next several months, individual solicitations will emerge at periodic times based on the next step of readiness to do that.
Correct. Some of the stations, such as the Navy Yard station, is a fairly simple site in terms of there's not a lot of transit facilities other than our chiller plant. So that can move quicker than some of the other stations where we really need to assess exactly what our needs are in terms of parking, bus facilities, and transit facilities for those stations. Those will move in a later batch. So there'll probably be 2 to 3 waves of solicitations based on their readiness to be issued to the market.
Okay, so the point I just wanted to draw in is that there won't, the expectation is not that there will be, within the next month, 11 RFPs that hit the street for proposals to develop real estate sites. And there's going to be a process that will take time that we will get a schedule and we'll have an understanding of what the cycle is you're moving through it.
We envision this as our work program for the rest of 2013, with the first set of solicitations arriving in May or June, which would be a smaller subset of the 11 sites.
Thank you.
That actually directly relates to your other question about a lot of real estate and kind of how do we manage that process. We have three development managers within the real estate group. These sites will be proportionally allocated to those development managers. We do have outside consultants that support us in this effort. We have a planning consultant that helps with station planning activities to assess our transit needs and impacts the transit needs. We also have a real estate consultant that helps us in terms of evaluating highest and best use and some of the valuation steps. And we have outside appraisers who actually help evaluate land value as part of this process. So we are supported by a team of various types of consultants to kind of help support that process, advancing the project forward.
Keeping us out of the micromanaging process, but it, and I'm sure you have it internally, but it would be helpful, and I'm not a standing member of the real estate committee, so it could be a process that, that they already utilize, but some sort of a critical path or high-level chart that going forward would depict all 11 of these projects, and we would be able to, at a high level, observe how they're moving through the paces toward either this is not going to fly, we're going to put it back to bed, or this one's hot, we're going to move it forward. Something to keep to be able to monitor that.
Absolutely. That's one of the first things our team's going to do upon board approval is essentially look at all 11 sites and understand which sites fall into which of those categories in terms of easy sites versus difficult sites, and then put together a milestone schedule of when those sites will actually come to the market.
I think that's helpful, and we'll follow that on the committee. Additionally, that reminds me that and for the rest of the stations, there's been some level of activity. Some of them have been developed. Some things are still pending that solicitations have gone out for many, many years ago. You prepared a memo for the board, I think, some months ago that described where all of the pending projects are, did you not?
Yes.
Okay, and that may be something that we can bring back to an additional board meeting. In addition to following these active ones, what about the other ones? Finally, yes.
If I might ask.
Of course.
All right.
I just want to get this out. On the station descriptions that you've included, and we want to thank you for doing that. And I think it might be helpful for the board if we have a description like this for all of the stations, including what the remaining development potential is at the remaining stations. That would be helpful. Ms. Hines?
I think that's a great idea. Part of what I wanted to ask about, Alvin already asked about, and I would layer into this if I could, because we need to work on our joint development guidelines here for the board members and the committee is as you think about this next set going out, if in your critical path you also can identify those places where perhaps the joint development agreement guidelines come into play for us. And I'm thinking in particular there's a point at which you're kind of ready to go and you're identifying the jurisdictional leads from our jurisdictions. That's a place there's confusion about the role, I think, of the board. And so we want to be ahead of that in order to not have any confusion should we get something live that moves along. And so if you could help us sort of pinpoint those where we need to be sure we've already dealt with those governance issues, I think that would be very helpful. And I think it would be good if we established maybe every 6 months or every 3 months that we get just a quick update. It doesn't even have to take a lot of time, just, you know, run through here the ones. Now, my last question is really, as our chairman pointed out, we've got some that have been out there for a long time. When do these end? I mean, is there time, you know, if nobody bites in 2 years, are we still working it? I'm curious at what your thinking is about how long these are alive, this authorization from the board.
To address your first question in terms of some of the elements of the joint development guidelines, we will be coming back to the board in April to present as an information item our proposed changes to the joint development guidelines that will address kind of some of the process issues that have been raised by the board in the past. We can also incorporate the suggestion that you're mentioning today in terms of updates to the board, as well as kind of how kind of the jurisdictional leadership on each of these projects relates to the guidelines. So that will be part of the presentation for next month and then approved in May. So that process will actually happen before any of our solicitations. So any new solicitation will be subject to those policies and guidelines that are adopted by the board. In terms of when do the projects end, is our goal that this is kind of an annual authorization. In terms of, that's not something that's currently stated in the guidelines, but the idea is that the sites that we've selected we feel are ready for the market, and to the extent they're not ready for the market this year, we would kind of cancel the process and we're ready again, come back to the board for an additional approval to resolicit for any site that's canceled this year.
Thank you.
Mr. Downey?
Yeah, two quick questions. In addition to these 11 and your pipeline, I assume you would not preclude looking at something that was a target of opportunity if it should happen, if someone comes in with an unsolicited proposal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then secondly, I know that most of the development rights on the Silver Line have been ceded to others as part of financing, but have we looked at or begin to look at the Silver Line to see if there's any residual opportunities for us?
There will not be. The only property that we'll be acquiring as part of the Silver Line is directly beneath our tracks and our facilities, so we won't have any development opportunity for
joint development. So that's all with the counties?
Correct.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Wall? Okay, so I will call for a vote. All those in favor of approving the solicitations before us and recommending them to the full board, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion carries. I should also move for approval the minutes, in that we've already gone through the agenda. I think we've approved it. So I'll move the minutes from the last meeting of the Planning and Development Committee for committee approval. Is there a second? Although any discussion, corrections, changes to the minutes? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it and the minutes are approved. Is there any other business that we'd like to bring, put on the table for the committee to discuss? I'll just follow on to Mr. Wall's statement that since our last meeting, the staff have discussed to me there where they are in reviewing the joint development process. And I think the recommendations are going to be a little bit more extensive than we thought from the last time we talked about it. So we're going to ask them to present their ideas also at the next meeting. And I know that they are also talking to stakeholders currently, and we're going to give an opportunity for public comment on the recommendations as well, and hopefully come back to the board to ask for your approval in May. Mr. Dyke.
Just one additional point. It's not on the agenda. Just wanted to take this opportunity to remind the board members that Mr. Wall had been recognized by the Washington Business Journal as one of the minority business leaders, and the award luncheon is going to be on March 21st. So to the extent we can be out and be supportive of all the great work he's done, I thought we should get that on the record.
And thank you, Mr. Dyke, and congratulations, Mr. Wall. And maybe we'll get him a permanent name tag. Maybe. Yeah. I think you're going to stick around, so we'll get you a name tag. Okay. If there's no Mr. Bulger.
I'm not on your committee, Madam Chair, but I was just struck by the fact that all of the development opportunities for Metro on the Silver Line are not in play. They're not available or not at our disposal.
It's not our property. It's either privately owned by VDOT, or owned by the Airport Authority along the toll road.
Ms. Hutchins, did you want to add anything?
All of that property is, as noted, are privately owned, but I need not leave out the opportunity of air rights, which are really controlled by the Air Force Authority, and we probably get there one day.
Well, I think the business before this committee is concluded, and we're adjourned at 10:30.